Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to John 15. In verse 5, the Word of God says, and this is Jesus talking to His disciples. I am the vine, you are the branches. That's what your relationship is like to Christ. He is the vine, you're the branches. In other words, it's kind of like a tree. You have a tree trunk, and the branches are physically attached to that tree trunk. That tree trunk provides those branches with water and with nutrition. It's like that with us. It's like Christ is the tree trunk and we are branches. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and that means to abide in the love of God. Abide means to remain. And so the person who remains in the love of God, who keeps themselves in the love of God, Jude 21 tells us that we keep ourselves in the love of God by looking for mercy. The person who's constantly looking for mercy is keeping themselves in the love of God. If we keep ourselves in the love of God, is what he's saying here, and I in him, and that means that his word in us, in John 1:14, the word became flesh. We cannot separate Christ from the word. Christ is the living word. So if his love remains in us, and we keep ourselves in that, and we remain in His Word, in other words, we keep His Word in our mind, then we bear much fruit. This is very important that we bear fruit. And then He continues, for without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. One of the things that bothers a lot of young people, and this is a real problem for them, and it's not something they're doing wrong. It's something that they need. It's something that they have. Something that happens because they're not mature yet. They're young. They have no way of becoming mature until they have the opportunity for that. As you grow, this changes. But it's not something that you actually have to have a problem with. But one problem young people have, and this problem is common, is confidence. Young people frequently lack confidence. Now, the reasons for that are many. Sometimes they simply haven't had the opportunity to get confidence because they're young. Sometimes somebody has damaged their confidence, maybe through unwarranted criticism or harshness or what have you, rejection, and this person can start to lack confidence. Never let experiences or outside influences determine your confidence. Those things can be accepted or rejected by you. If you accept them, then they can influence your confidence. But if you don't accept them, they can't touch you. So if somebody criticizes you, and it's not simply correction. You know, it would be better if you did it like this and this is how it works. That's not the same as criticism. That's really just instruction. But if somebody criticizes you, says something nasty, oh, you're stupid, or you're not this, or you're not that, don't worry about it. Don't accept that. You don't have to accept it. As a matter of fact, you should not accept it. Don't accept that. If you accept it, it can damage your confidence. You have every reason in the world, even as a young person, to be very confident. In John 15:7, just two verses later, Jesus says, if you abide in me, and again, you abide in the Word of God, you abide in the heart of God, you abide in the mind of God, you abide in the thoughts of God, the attitude of God, and my words abide in you. Now, this is a big one. My words remain in you. That means you have my mind to think with. If that is where you are, if that is your condition, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. That's amazing. That if God's word is the source of my thinking, I will ask God whatever I will, and God will do it for you. Now, if God's word is not the source of my thinking, all bets are off. But as long as God's word is the source of my thinking, I can ask absolutely anything, and it will be done for me. That will make us very, very confident. Knowing that I can go to God at any time whatsoever. It doesn't matter. God never sleeps. God never gets tired. God never gets overwhelmed. It's never too much for God. He can have everybody in the world talking to him at the same time, and yet he gets every word of everybody's prayers. If I have his thoughts, then I can ask him for anything at all, at any time. That is immense. That will give you tremendous confidence. Because the one who is the king of the universe, the one who created everything, the one who holds everything together, all the atoms in the universe are held together by God. Including people, including places, things, what have you. It's all held together by God. That's the one who says, if you have my thoughts, then you can ask me for anything and I'll do it. That also means that we're amazingly protected and that any need that we have will be immediately taken care of by God. Now, I may not see the result immediately, but the answer will be immediate. It's kind of like this sometimes. Sometimes God wants us to wait. And the reason for the wait is because the waiting creates something in us. It builds us. And in those cases, the answer is present immediately, but the building process is part of the answer. Don't ever think to yourself, I have asked God and he did not do it, so he didn't answer me. Wrong. You may have asked God, he did do it, but he gave you with it what you need to receive it. Sometimes there is a need in us that will prevent us from receiving if that need is not taken care of. And so God will give the answer, but he'll give it to it in such a way that it can come. It's like ordering something on Amazon or some online store and not being willing to wait for the delivery. Well, without the delivery, you can't receive it. That need fulfilled in us by God is kind of the delivery process. And when he delivers it, then we will receive it. They can ship it out right now, but you still have to wait for delivery. God will answer right now, but we still sometimes have to wait for his process in order to be able to receive it. You can be sure of this, though. If you have his thoughts, you can ask anything and he'll do it. Because of that, in Luke 1:37, with God, nothing is impossible. For you, with God, nothing will be impossible. Why? Because if you have his thoughts, you can ask anything and he'll do it. There is no impossibility to it. There is the requirement of his thoughts. You think with God's thoughts because you have the word of God. Nothing will be impossible for the person who has the word of God. In Matthew 9:23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. People who lack confidence don't get this. That all things are possible to the person who believes. How do I believe? Romans 10:17 says that I believe because I have the word of God that produces faith in me. In other words, it gives me God's thoughts to think with. If I have those God's thoughts to think with, then all things are possible. A lack of confidence is saying it's not possible. I can't do it. It won't work. Stuff like that. I don't have whatever it takes. You know what? It doesn't depend on you. You don't have to have whatever it takes. You have to have the Word of God in your thoughts. And then God has whatever it takes. So you don't have to worry about your ability. You don't have to worry if you're smart enough or strong enough. You don't have to worry about if you have enough money. You don't have to worry about anything. You take care of receiving the Word of God, and then you can ask Him for absolutely anything. And if you have the Word of God in your thinking, then nothing is impossible for you. That's the amazing part. Nothing is impossible for the Christian. You can have extraordinary confidence because nothing is impossible for the Christian. There was a time where this guy who was a fisherman got out of his boat in the middle of a storm and he walked on water because Jesus said so. Have you ever seen anybody walk on water? I haven't. Fish don't walk on water. You can't walk on water. But this guy did. Why? Because he believed Jesus when Jesus said to. And so nothing was impossible for him. He literally walked on water. Now, Jesus walked on water, and we can tell ourselves, well, he was God. Yes, he was God, but Peter was not God. As a matter of fact, Peter was an extraordinarily flawed, ordinary human being just like us. And he walked on water. He didn't presume. He waited for God to tell him to. But when God told him to, he wasn't afraid to because it was God who told him to. Nothing was impossible for him because he believed. In 1 Samuel 17, in verse 32, we have another example of this. And this is a big one. The Israeli army was facing the Philistine army. The Philistines were an ancient nation. They were extremely powerful. They were what we would call today a superpower. They were one of the most powerful nations on earth. And they were excellent soldiers. Very well trained, very well armed, very strong men. And so they were excellent soldiers. And there was this one Philistine named Goliath. He was from a race of people that were giants. Remember when Israel, for example, wanted to go into Jericho, but they were afraid because there were giants in the land? Those were real giants. That's not a lie. They were, in fact, giants. They weren't some 6 foot tall guys. Goliath was 9 feet tall. And as a matter of fact, archaeologists from the bones that they have found, and this was published in the Royal Scottish Archaeological Society in their publication, they found skeletons of human beings between 13 and 30 feet tall. These were giants. Now, these giants aren't around anymore, but they were around then. These were people who were giants. Our genetics has that ability. But it doesn't do it anymore because those genes have been eliminated from the populations. David was talking about a giant who was threatening the Israeli soldiers. He was a very strong, very experienced soldier. And David was 15 years old. He was just a young guy. And he said to King Saul, when Israel was very afraid of the Philistines, they did not want to go to war. Nobody wanted to face Goliath. Goliath was a killer and everybody knew it. David said to King Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Every man's heart failed because of him. They were all chicken. Your servant Well, go and fight with this Philistine. This is a 15-year-old kid. He's not a soldier. He's a shepherd. But he's got some serious confidence. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth. You're too young, David. You're a kid. A kid can't go fight against this guy. And he is a man of war from his youth. He's an experienced, strong soldier. His skills are incredible. There's no way a 15-year-old kid can survive fighting a guy like this. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. Now get this. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and I struck it. And I delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. In other words, there's this lion. I'm sorry, I'm not as worried about a Philistine as I am about a lion, David is saying. Can you imagine going up against a grizzly bear? Any bear for that matter. But this is what David is saying. He said, this has already happened to me. I was watching sheep for my dad, and a lion came and took one, and then another time a bear came and I took one, and I went up to those animals and I punched them. And the lion dropped the sheep and he turned on me. And so I grabbed his beard and I killed him. This is amazing confidence. Why? Because he knew something. He knew that because he believed God, nothing is impossible. He knew that God would always take care of him. Nothing is impossible. And then he continued in verse 36, your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this Philistine will be like them, seeing as how he has defied the armies of the living God. Can you imagine that kind of confidence? Well, I got news for you. If you believe God because you have his thoughts, not because you said, well, I'm going to believe now, that's not how it works. You have his thoughts because you have his mind, you can believe him. Because you believe him, you can be extremely confident in everything. Nothing can come against you. No weapon formed against you can prosper. And that doesn't mean just military weapon. That means any kind of weapon, somebody's attitude, somebody accuses you of something, somebody's unkind to you. None of that can prosper. None of that can go anywhere. Don't ever be afraid of it. Don't ever worry about it. You go right in there, whatever God has for you, and you be bold and you be confident and you trust God and you know that God's going to fight your battles just like he did with David. In the end, this giant, this 9-foot mountain of a guy, and he was extremely strong. He had a very heavy spear, a javelin. He had very heavy armor. He had a very heavy sword. King Saul tried to offer David his armor. David put on the armor and said, forget it. I don't even fit this thing. How am I going to fight? Can you imagine putting on a helmet that goes over your head? And you can't even see because the helmet's so big on you. How are you going to fight? He said, I don't need this. I can't fight with it. It's not doing me any good. It's getting in my way. Just give me some rocks. Okay, this guy's a big soldier. He's got his sword. He's got his spear. He's a big soldier. And you're saying, rocks? Yeah. He got 5 stones out of a river, took his slingshot, and nailed the giant right between the eyes. The giant never saw it coming. The giant was all cocky and arrogant. Hey, David, you're just a little mangy mutt. You're nothing to me, David. David said, yeah, okay, I don't care what I am to you. I know what I am to God. And that's where his confidence came. He knew what he was to God. And he took that rock and he put it in his slingshot and he nailed that giant right between the eyes. The giant went down like a ton of lead. Once these guys go down, they don't get back up. The armor's too heavy. And David knew that. And David goes over to this arrogant little giant, and he takes the guy's sword, and he cuts his head right off. That was the end of the giant. This 15-year-old boy was bold because he knew God. He knew God would take care of him. He knew God would give him the ability. God's taken care of him before. There was nothing that was scaring this kid because he knew God was on his side. You know what? God is on your side. I don't care who you go up against. I don't care if it's another Christian. God is on your side. And because God is on your side, you can have all the confidence in the world. And you know what? You're right to have all the confidence in the world. God wants you to have that confidence because He will do it for you. Nothing is impossible. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't do anything on my own. I don't enter into anything God doesn't bring me into. But if God brings me into it, it doesn't matter what it is. I can do all things. If something just happens to come my way, and I didn't have any influence over it, it just came. Some things are like that. They just come. Well, I turn to Christ, and I can do all things because He strengthens me. He gives me the ability, just like David. David didn't arm wrestle the giant. David didn't go into a sword fight with the giant. No, David took a rock and nailed him between the eyes. He never even came close to the giant until he cut the giant's head off. Until the giant had already lost. And that's the way it is with God. You can have incredible confidence. Go ahead and be confident. Don't be arrogant, but be confident. Because there's nothing you cannot do when you have the mind of God. When you have God's thoughts, all things are possible. You guys understand that? All right, that's it for today.